Last week, on the Lords of Grantha podcast, we kicked off coverage of The Crown Season 6 with Episode 1, Persona Non Grata. In that episode, we saw Diana getting closer with Doty on a yacht. It looks like they're about to actually start dating. Meanwhile, Prince Charles was chafing at the coverage of Diana and the lack of coverage for his wife, Camilla Parker Bowles. And so they were going at it in a PR battle to win the favor of the public. And that is continuing this week on The Crown Season 6, Episode 2. Photographs, two of them. Let's get to it.
And we are back again with The Crown Season 6, Episode 2. Two photographs. What's going on, Corey?
Not a lot, Dave. Not a lot. Just jumping ahead, there's not a lot going on in the world of period dramas to update you on. So, you know, life is just steady. I think it's just clearing out the way for WrestleMania this weekend, really. That's what's happening
in the
world.
That's true. It's the greatest weekend of the year for...
Some might say.
Well, you know what it is? And I know we talk about what we're watching on the back end, but we're both wrestling fans, and this is sort of our Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl is not 2 days for like 5 hours a day. It's just one day for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And if you only like certain teams, you might not have paid attention. But with wrestling, it's like, if you're a fan, there's like 25 hours of content this week, not including podcasts, YouTube interviews, people going on hot ones. So.
And there's a good chance your favorite wrestler is wrestling. So, you know, they're there. But, Dave, how excited are you for WrestleMania this week?
I'm thrilled. I'm really excited. Okay. I mean, we bounced the idea of going to Philadelphia because it's a couple hours away from us. But one of the podcasts that I was listening to pointed out that it would probably be in the 40s by the time the show started going. I said, okay, I think it's a destination WrestleMania might be the more fun decision instead of proximity.
It is April showers indeed right now on a rainy night here. That may not be too unfamiliar to the British listeners out there, if you are out there, but it is April showers. Otherwise, everything good for you, Dave? Everything
is good. Easter was good. We didn't get to get together and record some sort of Celebrity Apprentice Young Rock Ballers
April Fools
episode, but we did fool a couple people on Twitter.
What was your fool, Dave? Tell us.
For those that don't know, Corey runs the Instagram. I run the Twitter. The fool was and I thought it was a timely way to fool people. I'm pulling it up right now. Basically, it was a tweet about Dan Stevens saying in a Kong vs. Godzilla review that he's coming back for Downton. And
come on, that's cruel.
I can't tell you what he's there to do, but I can tell you he has unfinished business.
All right. Well, my apologies to the people that you duped.
I don't think I've duped that. Only 500 people saw it. So
okay.
But considering that we stay away from X quite a bit these days, had to get some sort of fool in on these people.
So a lot of people actually looked at it on Twitter and just ignored it altogether, aside from a couple.
Yeah,
people.
Definitely. Okay. Well, isn't that what you do with 99% of the tweets that you read is ignore them?
More or less. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so let's. If there's no news, we've been meandering talking about WrestleMania. I feel like this is going to be a quick episode to talk about.
Two photographs. 39 minutes.
Look at these photographs. 39 minutes. Take away 3 minutes of credits at the end and the intro, which I hit skip immediately as soon as I see it happen. Woof. Light work.
It was a breeze. You know, I've just been looking at the episode descriptions, and so it actually registers why Elizabeth Debicki was a little bit shocked when she won, I think, was a Critics' Choice Award earlier this year for playing Diana, because as far as I can tell, she's not in this season very much. light work for her to pick up some hardware. But the thing that stood out to me about this episode being so short is just thinking back to the first season, the second season, which came out in, 2016? Like still coming off the fumes of the peak TV of the Mad Men and Breaking Bad days.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, or even Orange is the New Black. Like, the expectation that show should be full hour long, like HBO does it.
Your Game of Thrones heyday.
Padding out those episodes, even if there isn't much to do, making them very slow. We have come a long way since then. And I think part of it is the medium has changed slightly. I think there's been some innovative shows along the way that have, you know, said, like, not every episode has to be that long if you don't have the material. just tell the story that you need to tell. And it's more efficient storytelling. It's like, you don't have to be an hour long to be prestige drama. You can just be good. And that's all we really ask of you. And so this half hour was among, you know, some of the most effective work that they've done. And it was lean. It told us what we needed to tell, or all we needed to tell us, which is things are closing in on Diana. It's looking tough.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, I'd say, where do we want to start? But this is really two plots, and they kind of both exist in the same, you know, ether.
Well,
we have the Charles and the Diana of it all.
But part of it, too, is there's a simplicity to this episode and its storytelling, because it starts with two photographers. As much as this is an episode called Two Photographs, there are two photographers. Mm-hmm. Mario Brenna, he's a fashion photographer who takes pictures of celebrities. He self-mythologizes himself by saying that he takes more risks than anyone. He's the best paparazzi, you may say, out there.
Yeah.
You can see, like, even in a shot where there's like some like cliff and he's just standing there getting the shot that he can.
Climbing over a fence when everyone's going for the obvious shot. He's climbing over things to get the real money shot.
Yeah, the couple's arguing. And so he's juxtaposed with Duncan Muir, a traditional photographer. He takes photos of families and such, but he also regularly takes pictures of the royalty, particularly the queen. And what is it? He jokes that his wife says that he looks more at the queen than his wife. He's a proud Elizabethan. And they show a sweet little exchange there where he's taking their photo and she recognizes him.
Yeah, because he says that, like, she's nodded at him. And then she overtly says, like, hey, Duncan, you ever get bored of this? Like, when are you going to stop coming to these things?
Yeah, and he says, only if you do, ma'am. And she says, there won't be a chance of that. And he's like, oh, boy. Oh,
I'm in. He says, I'm ready to leave my wife. Tell me. Give me the cue, Liz.
Tell me what I need to do. Squirrely man there. I thought it was funny that his photography is like Demir photography, D period Mir. But that kind of sets us up for what they're about to get into here in this episode. And we even have time for, like, totally extraneous moment of they have launched the royal website.
We get to hear those. You know, if you want a timestamp that's not just Chumbawamba and Smash Mouth, you get the sound of a dial-up modem. But and you told us when we started this podcast 6 years ago that we would be talking about the nostalgia for the sound of a dial-up modem. I would have told you you're crazy that we still have the podcast going, but also double crazy that that counts as a period drama.
Yeah. Well, the period is the 1990s when we were young pups. I love Prince Phil's reaction here of just like, what the hell are you talking about, royal website?
And the Queen really Mother is home. Like, logging? And they have the I'm sure, joke that was made to many boomers and members of the silent generation of, it has nothing to do with logs.
Yeah, nothing to do with timber. But it really just strike home that despite, what was it, just last year or a little over a year ago with Prince Phil passing away, that he was that old in the 90s already. Like, he was like, you know, nearly 100 when he passed, and he was old when the internet came around. So that happens. But it really does, I think, highlight a little bit how news travels right now. It's moving faster. People are getting access to information a lot faster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this show does operate with, like, intention to the point that it's default, where it's like, we have this episode start with this clear paparazzi style renegade photographer and this sort of house husband kind of guy that's just very humble. And it's like, we know exactly where this is going. And then we go to a scene about the internet. And it's like, well, we know what you're trying to tell us here.
Yeah.
They set their table very neatly. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's, you know, fellows would not go for something so overt, like two or three times over the way this show does.
Yeah. But they take the queen aside because they have to talk about item 12. Or no, I don't think they take her aside. They actually talk about it in the room there. But they say it's like confidential.
It's Princess Di.
Yes. She has been seen with Dodi. Dodi Fayed.
And a weekend in France.
In Paris. And that's cause for concern because the friendship, it's looking like it may become a committed relationship. A little bit more serious, y'all.
And if it becomes a more committed relationship, that means, you know, if they get married at some point, the world loves Diana, and if Diana's father-in-law wants that British citizenship he's been desperately craving his whole life, they're going to have to fold. And just like, was it last season when there was the big tennis match where Mohammed had the suite, or, you know, the royal seat next to what he should have been the queen, but it wound up being Diana. You know, like, this guy is obsessed with the royalty at this point, almost out of spite.
It seems like it. He did apply twice in real life to become a British citizen in 1995 and 1998, and he was rejected. So, never became a British citizen in his lifetime. But, so they're keeping tabs on the progress of this relationship. So is Mohammed, though.
Yes, yes. So we see that Dodi and Diana are back together on the boat again in the south of France.
And so they really lean into the whole idea that Mohammed wants something out of this. There's something to gain out of the relationship of Diana and Dodi. And he wants a progress report, Dave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's clear that he wants something, but he wants to, you know, he seems like he wants a trophy. Like he's been a guy who's been with models his whole life, and not to say that Diana's not a model, but he wants the ultimate prize in humanity, which is, you know, this princess who is all eyes in the world are on her, and they refer to her as the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. He wants to put his son with her. So he asked the, I don't know, yacht manager, whatever this guy's name is, if they're hanging out, and he says, yeah, they're hanging out laughing. And he goes, yeah, okay, laughing. I need more than a laugh. Are they shacking up? And he goes, I don't know. I don't deal with that. And he goes, who does? Bring me the maid. And he's got to get the maid on a walkie-talkie. The maid comes down, and Mohammed's on the phone saying, hey, are they doing the deed? And the poor maid, the guy says, look, he knows exactly what's going on. Like, don't BS him.
And she doesn't know how to say it exactly. Like, yeah, your son is having a tryst with Diana. How do you tell a father? Yeah, they're getting it in.
They're sleeping in the same room. One room, one bed, two folks.
Yep. And with that information, Mohammed really is not making himself look like a good individual here, at least in the show. He dials up the paparazzi, one of the best. It's Mario. He's coming off the bench. And he's got a speedboat all of a sudden just plugging along to go out to that private yacht.
Yeah.
Man. So, in terms of history, there is no actual evidence of this, but it does seem to, like, you know, paint this narrative of Mohammed. Like, in terms of story, it makes sense in terms of how they're connecting the dots. So, don't want to say that he made that happen, because it seems like the paparazzi, regardless, were getting information on where Diana was located. But
yeah, I guess this episode is trying to make it like this weekend on the boat is sort of the catalyst for the obsession.
Well, in a lot of ways, I think it was that this was confirmation that she was in a new relationship. And just as we saw with that doctor, you know, they want to know what Diana was up to next. So especially if it's coming from the son of a billionaire that who they later find out was engaged, you're just feeding the fuel on the fire of we want to know what's going on with this relationship, what's next. And on the boat, they're talking about plans for the rest of the summer, and Diana's planning to go to Bosnia, whereas Dodi, he was planning to get married. He doesn't have any plans for the summer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
happening. He's got to go to Los Angeles and break it off.
Yep, that's his plans.
What a summer.
And, yeah, she's going to be walking into a field of landmines. Hey. Diana does tell that good joke that, what was it, she was talking to one of the people who was injured by a landmine, and they said the worst day that ever happened to him, or the day that sticks in their memory, is when they stepped in the landmine, and she tells him her own landmine was when she wedded Charles. Ooh. You couldn't miss that landmine. The guy had ears you can't miss. But yeah, she's going to do her charity work.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves his hands. She lets him know. Yeah. I wish they had a close shot of his hands. I want to see how nice his hands are. Don't tell me. I want to see those hands.
Yeah, they say a man's hand gets all the job done. And it's like, oh, okay. It's a conversation we're putting in our 39 minutes.
Yeah. And
because
yeah,
they say the thing about how, what do you like better? Dodi is a leg boy, apparently, because he's like, your legs are a work of art. And in fairness, Elizabeth Debicki's like 8.5 feet tall. So,
dude, those legs, they emphasize it to show like how nice her legs are. But when she kicks them up in this episode, you run it back, her legs are longer than his entire upper torso. Like, it extends past his head. It's insane.
Yeah, she's like Stretch Armstrong over here.
She's all legs. That's okay by me.
And like ZZ Top says, she knows how to use them.
She knows how to use them, all right.
But it is, I mean, Dodi is a bit of a dog. You know, he's a little forthcoming here. He's like, I like them legs, baby. Mm-hmm.
Them thighs. So, yeah, Diana's playing with her kids. What is it?
Playing some kind of Uno that reeks of an early 2000s Uno. That doesn't feel like a 90s Uno.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's kind of cut with Dodi meeting with his family, with Mohammed.
Mm-hmm. And our boy Solo is the guy who's in charge of the royal, you know, the sort of, what would you, business manager of the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little all cutting between the same things of Muhammad's super proud. He's like, my man, the Lothario has returned.
Mm-hmm.
And Diana's playing Uno.
Yep.
And Fellows is like, oh God, I got some real bad news.
For the royalty.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bidding war for the photos. £250,000 for the son. It's the mm-hmm. fiercest bidding war they've seen for photos yet. And they're going to be advertising, actually, that these photos are going to be running the paper on TV.
On TV, and Elizabeth is like, what do the photos entail? Well, it's them kissing.
Yep, it's your legs.
They're long, baby. You've seen
yeah.
them.
And I think during this time, she's talking to William.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's kind of feeling out how they feel about the relationship with Dodi, and we hear from William. He's weird.
Don't like him.
What do you think is striking him as strange about him, Dave?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that Dodi is weird. I think it's the fact that like his experience on this vacation with Dodi was just like, oh, I'm the dad now. I'm the one who, you know, Muhammad mm-hmm. is like a Lothario. Mm-hmm. And he's very like smooth with everybody. He's a social guy, whereas Dodi's a little less so. So I think he's like, you know, this awkward guy. But he, you know, he's also old enough to know that his mom is probably, you know,
to bag anyone,
getting with these people. Like, he knows what adult relations are, even if he's too young to have them himself.
Part of me just wishes we saw the end of that conversation last week, where he was talking about, do you like James Bond movies? Do you want to go to the Pinewood Studios? Do you like Bond women? Do you like women? Do you like strip clubs? What do you like to
dad?
See? Yeah, just get totally weird about it. What do you like about women, William?
Diana's like, huh? She would have left.
Here,
maybe
Dodi.
He was a creep. We don't know.
rest in peace, Doty. I don't want to besmirch his name, but I am just so curious about what weirded William out specifically, maybe. And was it the line of conversation like, do you like Bond women? Or which Bond women do you like? Or who's the Bond girl? Hey.
That's fine now, baby.
Anyways. Prince Charles. So she's dropping off the children with Prince Charles. And he's like, everything all right? And she says, they're dying to get rid of me. You know, they had enough of me, old die here. And I got to go to Bosnia for some landmines.
Yep.
But as you do.
And Charles has a great line where he's like, hey, we got to do this thing together. We got to be good parents. We got to be good partners. Mm-hmm. And Diana's like, okay, I agree. And you see, because I did this last season where, like, they had lunch together after the divorce, and you can see, like, the weight was lifted, the drama was gone, and they were just, like, two people. Just relaxing, just being people, and you can see that in this moment, I think they're not being deceptive overtly to each other. I think they're just like, we have to do this, you know?
Yeah. And I really love this moment because, in some ways, the show feels like it's on a speed run of events that happened, and too often they lean into showing Prince Charles making the wrong choice of betraying Diana, breaking up this marriage that Camilla's in, even though Camilla's also another party playing a role in that. But, like, too often Charles looks like he's in the wrong. And so, like, at least he shows some sensibility here for once of, like, look, we got kids that we have to focus on here. And, he actually seems actually proud of Diana for once. He understands that she's doing what she wanted to do, which is humanitarian work. So I did appreciate this small moment here.
Yeah, because they do have a respect for each other. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a... Okay. Yes, I am. They have like a real... They've raised kids together, and they both knew how bad their situation was. And we see Diana's joking about it with strangers, amputees, or, you know, landmine victims. And then Charles has said it last week, his girlfriend has been, like, dragged through the media by this whole system. So, like, it's not great. And she does, Diana makes a joke about, like, oh, I'm the runner-up in your love life, and this is, and I have to agree to team up with you. And they're, you know, like, they're playful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that sort of disdain is what leads to what happens later in regards to their situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, shortly after the scene, we see Diana doing her humanitarian work. And by the way, they give her a satellite phone to call Doty.
Yeah, Doty's people slide in like a very modest car and say, here's from Doty, if things go down.
And she does look a little suspicious of it. And it kind of calls back to the episodes where she listened for phone tapping. And knowing that they had already tracked her on the boat, you wonder if she's feeling that paranoia about the satellite phone there for a moment. But yeah, the paper comes out. While William and Harry are running around outside, and so it's 11-page spread that the Queen is reading through of Doty and Diana on that boat, and apparently there's 78 photographs that are going to be syndicated. So, yeesh. But yeah, William gets to see it eventually, and everyone knows it's happening.
Not thrilled.
Yeah.
So our boy, is it Fellows or is it, no, it's the PR guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what his name is, but he tells Charles, well, hey, maybe you need to do a photo yourself.
Yeah.
And he goes, no. Like, we had a discussion recently and we agreed that we were going to co-parent together and be on each other's side. And he goes, well, she made an interview comment where she said that you, after not having the kids for a while, pushed them away for a weekend because of CP. Or CPB, and he said, excuse me, say it again. And they say, you heard. She threw your name in. You know, like, she's playing dirty with you. And he goes, okay. Kilt up. Call up Duncan Weir, or whatever his name is. Yeah, Duncan Weir. We're gonna get the most royal photo you've ever seen.
And the boys are going to hate it. They're not going to like it one bit. Doesn't seem like the boys want to do anything with their parents right now. They're reaching that age, but they put up with it and they get a good photo shoot out of it. They get some photos to land on the cover of the papers to show. The men in the family are doing just fine. They can deal.
Yeah, I mean, the whole photo sequence is fun. It's a good moment, and Dominic West has a good teen dad energy where he's just like, skip the stones, play with the dog. Let's just do it. Let's be happy.
And it's funny. I did feel like I recall seeing these photos around that time just because those were the photos circulating of like, and Diana's children, you know, like when all that news happened. So I remember seeing these photos. But it's funny, like looking at them today, and it really does draw a striking distance of how little Dominic West looks like Prince Charles. Because Prince Charles he's like late 40s. He looks old here. and Dominic West, you know, old, but not that old, and looks still jacked up. He can toss these children.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He put Dodie down.
Yep. But Dave, you fast-forwarded over all the stuff going on with Diana here.
Yeah, I did. Admittedly.
Yeah. So she's still walking among the landmines, trying to make people pay attention to what's going on in Bosnia, that it's still not a safe place yet because these landmines need to be removed. And so she's at a press conference, and the people can't bother to ask her about the cause that she's there for. You know, they're asking her, are you going to go to Egypt next? Haha, the Al-Fayeds. They're laughing in the room. She feels like they're all laughing at her because all they care about is Mohammed and Dodie, and I mean specifically Dodie. And it cuts to this moment where she's alone in a hotel room by herself, and we see her biting into her finger. And it's a big callback to how she would kind of self-harm her. It was not kind of, she would self-harm herself in the 80s to cope with, you know, being in this unhappy marriage. And so it's kind of scary to see her dealing with that. And I wonder if there's any, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but it is kind of dark to think that the writers are inserting this to further dramatize something when she's already going through it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would, I as someone that it doesn't, you know, I'm not triggered by that kind of stuff. I don't think like the, I think it elicited a reaction, but I don't think it was supposed to be like some kind of a, you know, snowball effect situation where we think it might get bad again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we see that Diana, after all this stuff, she goes in a private Hera's helicopter with Dodie to just some random psychic in a small town to try to get things in order.
Well, and you're, again, you're skipping over the fact that we learned that the lawyers, his ex-fiance, Dodie's ex-fiance, is suing them for a breach of contract. So, like, this whole thing is not going to get quiet. So there's a little bit of, like, is he going to have cold feet? Well, if we talk to this psychiatrist, she'll reassure him. Like,
psychiatrist,
no,
isn't it psychic?
Psychic, I'm sorry. Yeah, psychic.
Two very different things.
Very different. But maybe it'll, you know, it'll keep him in. Like, she's saying, I can see into the future. You'll be okay. And it's funny, it's the queen who's relaying this news to us, and she's telling it to Prince Phil, and Prince Philip is saying, spare me. I don't need to hear about this psychic. Come on, let's be real here.
He's like, come on, can't she just like travel the world in a boat with her best friend and just shack up with strange people instead of going for this? Like, everyone wants her to be happy.
Yeah.
Me and my boy Mike, we were happy 50 years ago. She should be like me.
Why does she have to travel 160 miles to see a psychic? And so the episode ends with that iconic last, one of the last shots of Diana sitting on the end of a springboard to jump in the water, just sitting by herself, just looking out at the water. And if you don't know the photo, look it up. If you don't, still don't recognize it, maybe just look at the cover of SZA's album, her most recent one. It's the same shot. But yeah, it's pretty iconic. I mean, it kind of captures of how isolated she was in this moment in a lot of ways. There wasn't anyone really protecting her. But with the music and the way they show her, you can feel the paranoia and just the intensity of the paparazzi is growing here because they want to know what is going on with her and Dodie. And that's the episode, Dave.
Yeah, this is a simple one, but I thought this was a great episode.
Yeah.
People are down on this last run of the show. I think it's a lot more straightforward. And I think the performances are great. Obviously, Debicki's fantastic. We're not getting much of the Queen, I think, just because of the nature. But, you know, the crown doesn't mean Queen Elizabeth. It means the whole ensemble. And Diana's huge part of that ensemble in that time. So
yeah, it's setting the table exactly for her last days. Yeah. So we'll definitely get more of the Queen after this, though. I thought the same thing, Dave. Like, for a show called The Crown, they are spending so much time on Diana. And it's a compelling story. And it's why a lot of more people tuned into The Crown than they had in, I think, a couple years prior. But, yeah. Can't wait to see how they address the end of this here.
Yeah. Because it's gotta notice be the lack of optimism in that. Can't wait, but it's not going to be fun.
Probably not. Definitely not. Yeah, I'd wager as much. But Dave, we have power rankings.
We do.
Who's going down?
Well, you know, I took a page out of your book, Corey, because this was such a simple story this week. Mm-hmm. Number three going down, I got the idea of journalistic integrity.
Oh, okay.
We got all these journalists in Bosnia at a press conference, and they can't talk about the fact that people are losing limbs, the people that are embarrassed to live their lives mm-hmm. because of disfigurements due to landmine, due to shrapnel. They're too busy thinking about Dodi Al-Fayed. And not to mention 11 pages, 78 photos, 250,000 pounds. Journalism, you know.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of the end for legitimate journalism in favor of tabloid journalism.
Absolutely. Well, at number three going down, I got two people. It's Harry and William. These boys aren't thrilled about mom's new boyfriend, and they aren't thrilled about getting pictures taken of them in Scotland because all the bullies that will make fun of them. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're going to be king one day. You can choose
all bullies.
Like, yeah, you can behead disappear. Them if you want to. Yeah, don't worry about them. But they are absolutely worried about them while their dad is wearing a kilt in the Highlands with them.
Yeah, they're like, no way. No way, Pops.
Yeah.
Would you wear a kilt for a photo shoot?
Me?
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'm good. I don't need
to
feel the wind
blowing. I think I might give it a shot.
A kilt? Are you going to wear something down there?
I mean, of course you wear something, you know, underneath. You got to wear something appropriate. I've never worn a kilt. I don't know what it feels like.
I thought they don't wear anything under that.
No, you don't. No, I mean, maybe hundreds of years ago, like just going off of Braveheart.
Research it, man.
Well, no thanks. If that's what,
yeah.
If that's what you're asking me to look for, well, number two going down to get back on focus. It's our man Robert Fellows.
Who's Robert Fellows again?
He's the
PR guy.
He's the dude who's running the meetings in the beginning, and the guy who's handling the business. I don't know what his exact title is, and I hope all the Anglophiles don't get on me about this. This dude has to wrangle the royals. He's got to go through what the item number 12 is, and then he's got to give the queen photos of her daughter-in-law smooching with some literal enemy of hers, because the Al-Fayeds are really prodding at, you know, have been prodding at the queen for years. This is a night, you know, like this dude has a thankless job. So props to him for doing it, but it ain't fun.
Sure. Well, at number two going down, I got Dodi. This guy had to break off his... he was going to break off his engagement, but then all these photos came out, still under the thumb of his daddy, and the kids don't like him. He just seems a bit of a loser. He's kind of caught up in all of this, even if Diana likes him. Dodi's not doing too hot.
Yeah, all right. Well, I got Diana at number one going down.
Same.
Rough go.
Things are getting tight for her.
She's trying to do the right thing by being a good parent and, you know, being discreet with her new friend. And it's just, it's not working. People, and not to mention she goes to Bosnia to talk about landmines and people are like, no, tell us about your boyfriend.
Yeah, it's a tough beat for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they handle it with grace next week. her last days.
We'll see. Yep. I mean, they have to. They can't botch that.
For sure.
Well, who do you got going up?
Well, I got the paparazzi at number three going up. This is them asserting their place in the economy that, you know, people will pay to see what's going on with these celebrities in their private lives, and they're demanding a lot of dollars out of it. And that's the key thing I think they make, is they see how much money is circulating around these photos, so it's encouraging more of them to swarm around to get their own photos and earn a quick buck. So power to them, I guess.
Well, number three going up, I got Doty, because he doesn't have the best week. Mm-hmm. But we saw last time that his model girlfriend was a bit of a pain in the butt. Who, I mean, what is a legal suit against her? They'll cover that. It's nothing. That's pocket change for them. And as of this moment in the show, he's just starting a brand new relationship with one of the most powerful women in the world, and it's going great so far, aside from the paparazzi.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he doesn't know what's about to happen, but what's going on right now is okay.
Well, number two going up, I got Prince Charles. He shows a bit of maturity, saying to Diana, like, hey, we can make this work. This is pretty good, you and me, as parents here. And gets the upper hand with the photo. The photo op goes off without a hitch, and it reflects well on the family. So I think overall, a net positive for Prince Charles for once.
All right. Well, I got Mohammed Al-Fayed at number two.
Okay.
He's a puppet master. This is what he's been waiting his whole life for. He successfully set his son up with the most sought after woman in the world.
Well, I mean, for those same reasons, he's got Mohammed at number one. Yeah. He's the puppet master. At number one, he's the puppet master. Mohammed, he's the one setting the pace for what the royals have to respond to. He's the one who's saying, like, these are what the photos are that you're going to have to try and combat, because I want to be a citizen. I want to be a British man. And my son can't say anything to me. He's divorcing that woman. Who cares if she's suing him? It's over. So
it's nothing Doty's to me. I'm going to fly him all this time, all these places in a private helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, who's number one for you?
I got Prince Charles, or King Charles. Prince Charles. King Charles now. He handles himself with grace. He doesn't aim low until he's told that she's aimed low. And then he winds up with a good headline, you know?
Sure.
Everything looks good for him. You know, everything is coming up green for Charles.
Yeah. Well, Dave, now let's turn to some facts. How much money do you think Mario Brenna made altogether from these photos?
I'll say $1.5
million. $5 million.
Wow.
In the 90s? In the 90s, that's insane. That's huge. And Dave, there's a huge historical inaccuracy in this episode. Can you guess what it is?
The Prince Charles photo.
No, it's that Duncan Muir doesn't exist. He's not a real person.
Okay, all right. I mean, I guess that's fair inaccuracy.
He's a composite of, you know, royal photographers over time. And the moment early on where the Queen acknowledges him, I think, is kind of inspired from last year when Kate Middleton recognized a photographer and asked how they were. And he's kind of, I think, a voice for the British people over there, the Elizabethans, to say how much they miss her and how important she is to them. So he really is just a reflection of the people who like, you know, the royals. So not a real person. There you go.
That's fine.
Yeah. So it goes. Well, that's this week on The Crown, and we'll be back next week for Season 6, Episode 3. But until then, we are going to be watching WrestleMania this weekend. Dave, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I don't want to be the guy that picks the obvious thing, but last night, The Rock whipped Cody Rhodes in the back with a belt about 45 times.
Did he do that last week?
He did it like 4 times last week. He did it way more with Roman Reigns. In the middle of Brooklyn.
Do you approve of that behavior?
In context, sure.
Jeez, okay.
I mean, I want to see him get his comeuppance, but as a fan of The Rock and as a user of his skincare line and a drinker of his energy drink, it's, you know, this is a lot of fun to watch, and I hope that he gets his butt kicked by Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And
okay.
Also, to bring it back to the UK, I'm excited to see what Drew McIntyre can do. You know, Scotland's own, who is sort of a dark horse guy trying to win a championship, even though he's like 6'10" and 400 pounds of muscle. Like, he's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I mean, it really is. Like, they got the big guys in the big the biggest matches. Like, they're not being relegated to smaller things. They're in important spots there. Although you can say Gunther, like, I see guys not in the main event, but he should be.
yeah, time will come.
If you see the posters and you see The Rock staring menacingly at Cody Rhodes, the blonde man, that is the money right there. It's going to be on Saturday night, and it's going to rock. Because he is the final boss, as I keep calling him, of the of the bloodline. If the bloodline is the royalty, he's the final boss of that. He's the Queen Elizabeth of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get going. It's funny, because it does feel a little top-heavy this year in terms of Mania. There is a lot of storylines, but some of them feel obvious in terms of the direction they're going. Like, I'm excited about Io Sky versus Bayley after, you know, months of them going at it. It's like, there's no reality in which Io Sky retains against Bayley. Bayley has to have that moment to win here.
Yeah, for people that are unfamiliar with the cyclical style of wrestling storytelling, WrestleMania is effectively both the season finale and the season premiere.
Yeah. Like,
we are wrapping stories up and rolling down on new stories. So,
and that's the thing, is I feel like Triple H is now the head of creative since Vince McMahon has been effectively removed, thank God. But the thing is, he's made for richer stories, but I feel the stories are more predictable in how they go. So it doesn't feel quite as momentous as it should in the moment, because you already know, like, well, it's probably going to go this way if this is the story they're telling. I mean, they did have the huge swerve last year with Roman beating Cody, and that was an instance also where I think they just got the story completely wrong. And that's the risk that they run here, is if they don't tell the story that they're building, it's like, well, then what was all that for exactly? Whereas at least with Vince, for as up and down as he was, there was an air of complete unpredictability with who was going to win, I think, half the time.
Well, he wasn't afraid to do whatever he wanted, and we saw that in why his personal life is crumbling in front of our very eyes. He also wasn't afraid to do what he wanted to on TV, so...
But
we're better off without him, but sometimes we don't want happy endings for every story.
Exactly. Dave, are there any surprises you're holding out for?
Surprises? So we watched Monday Night Raw last night. Well, part of it. I watched the clips. I think there's a tiny percent chance Sami Zayn wins the Intercontinental title.
I'm feeling like he's going to get screwed.
I don't think he's not going to get screwed. I think he's either going to get, like, handily destroyed, or he's going to pull one out.
Okay.
I think we need one surprise.
Yeah, but I think
what's it going to be?
The problem with Sammy winning is there's going to be too many title changes. They can't have everyone change the title there. Because if Roman drops, if Io drops, I imagine Rhea would be the one to retain her belt. But it's like there's
the tag titles seem to get pulled apart, hopefully.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, there's too many tag changes. There's got to be someone who, a couple people who retain.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. Also, you know, our dear friends, who's been a constant in our wrestling discussion on this podcast, Rey Mysterio is once again duking it out with his son and two other luchadors in a sort of Mexican pride match.
Yeah.
Where,
you know, this, I think, a lesson.
And I think his son's got to get a win this year.
He's finally going to beat his dad?
I hope so.
Jeez, okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's about time. It's about time he taught his dad a lesson for a change.
Yeah, he better learn.
Yeah. Okay, this is turning
before we wrap it up, we need to say, you know, another important thing for us Connecticut people is both of our basketball teams from UConn have made it to the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. So if you're in the U.S. listening to this, your alma mater, Corey, my girlfriend's employer, and my brother's alma mater, UConn, is the only real good sports team we have in our state. So,
hoping
the women can get... Women have a harder climb, I think, but...
Right.
We'll know before WrestleMania if the women are in, but the men are going to be during WrestleMania. So we hope that our attention can be divided evenly.
Yeah. We're wishing them well.
Yeah, go Huskies.
But until then, you know where to find more of our episodes on anywhere where you get a podcast, iTunes, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. 5-star rating and review if you so choose. And also, you can find all our episodes on Podbean. You can sign up for our Patreon, where we have a bunch of bonus content, and the Lords of Grantham Lounge on Facebook. And hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, X, and lordsofgrantham@gmail.com. And we will catch you next week on the pod. Yeah.